This file and its contents are copyrighted by aboutfacts.net. All rights are reserved.
Today our guest is our friend Nick Pope, the former head of UFO investigations for the Ministry of Defense in UK. How are you, Nick?
Yes, I'm fine, thank you.
Today we will be discussing the wave of UFO sightings in the UK and related events. First of all, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you if you believe that there has been a substantial increase in UFO activity in your country.
Yes, I think there has been, undoubtedly. That said, it's sometimes difficult to differentiate between whether you're dealing with an increase in sightings or an increase in media reporting of sightings. But actually, I think in this instance, and I'm very close to the situation, what we're dealing with is both. There's no smoke without fire. Yes, the media has a part to play here, but ultimately this is events-led, and there's no doubt about it. We've had a series of very interesting UFO sightings here in the UK, and we've actually had quite a lot of incidents by volume.
Some people are suggesting that there is some reason for the increase in sightings. Do you believe that there is something going on in the UK that we are unaware of?
I'm not sure about that. I mean, the honest answer is I don't know, but perhaps I can sort of, just outline perhaps the two UFO events which have really crystallized the debate over here and brought this into focus. And they happened really within a couple of hours of each other. The first late on the night of June the 7th this year, when three soldiers on guard patrol at Turnhill Barracks in Shropshire saw several UFOs fly directly over their base. Now, one of them had a cell phone and had the presence of mind to take a film, because he had a film capability. On his cell phone, he took some footage of this, and through a rather convoluted route, news of this went firstly to the Ministry of Defence through the chain of command, but also to Britain's best-selling national daily newspaper, The Sun. And The Sun got hold of this story, and obviously soldiers seeing UFOs on duty and filming them go directly over the base. I mean, that for them was not just a UFO story, it was a security issue. And they put it literally on the front page. So it has been front page news here in the UK.
Uh-huh. Would you say that this is the largest UFO wave of all time in Britain?
I'm not sure about that. I look back and one has to take quite a long view. One can certainly look back to 1967, which was a real peak year, not just in the UK, but in the US, and indeed all around the world. I'm not sure if we're quite equaling the events of 1967 yet. But of course, what we're in now is a situation where we're a multimedia society. These days, as opposed to 1967, if somebody sees something, it's on YouTube within a matter of hours. It's on blogs, it's on websites. So I don't know whether this equates in terms of numbers of sightings, but certainly in terms of impact, yes, this is pretty much as good as it gets. And I mentioned that there were two sightings just a matter of hours after the soldiers had seen the UFOs on June 7th. In the early hours of June 8th, the crew, the three-person crew of a police helicopter, which was coming into land at an Air Force base, RAF St Athan in Wales, that crew saw a UFO. Now, the media reports then then disagree about what happened next. One of the reports suggests that there was a near miss followed by a chase, with the helicopter only breaking off pursuit when they ran short of fuel and realized that they weren't going to catch the UFO. Subsequently, there was a denial that a chase had taken place, though there was confirmation of the sighting. Researchers here in the UK are trying to clarify the position, and as I speak, Freedom of Information Act requests are being made on these incidents. But I mean, obviously, here we have two high-profile sightings involving police and military, literally making front-page news. Those two things, I think, opened the floodgates.
Let me ask you this. I hadn't planned to ask this question. But you bring up the fact that Freedom of Information requests are now being made. I was under the impression that all sightings that were given to the Ministry of Defense would be posted on the Internet, and there would be no reason to have to make a Freedom of Information request.
Well, that's an interesting question, and it perhaps plays into something that's related to this. I think a lot of people are saying, why this interest in UFOs? And yes, of course, it's amazing that we've had these police and these military sightings. The other thing, and I think your question kind of alludes to this, is that in May of this year, the Ministry of Defense did indeed start the process of releasing its entire archive of UFO files. Now, these were made available at the National Archives, on the National Archives website, and within a few days of just the first batch being put online, they had received nearly 2 million downloads of the material. But the difficulty with that is that this is a four-year program. There are so many tens of thousands of documents, and they're being released in chronological order, starting with the oldest. So material on these new sightings may well be 3 or 4 years in the future, unless specific FOI requests are made now.
So they still honor the Freedom of Information request?
Oh, yes, indeed, though there is one very important proviso to that. There is an exemption to the Freedom of Information Act which allows you to refuse a request if the information requested is going to be released at a future date. Now, the Ministry of Defense has to take a case-by-case view of that, and on something like these police and military sightings, I think they are having to decide to release the information now. They could hide behind the material intended for future release exemption, but I've been in touch with a few UFO researchers here in the UK, and they are getting answers to their requests on this.
Oh, that's very interesting. As a layperson, it looks to me like there has been more of the orange-type craft that are often described as bright orange lights or flaming orange objects sighted, not only in the UK, but everywhere. Do you think that this is true?
Yes, it is. And I think, undeniably, a number of these reports are so-called Chinese lanterns, fire lanterns, whatever name you call these things. They're increasingly popular at weddings, at other celebrations. They're even used quite deliberately in pranks sometimes to cause UFO reports. These are sort of mini hot air balloons. They've got a little light underneath. There's a canopy. They rise on the wind, and then they drift in the wind, and they do tend to glow red and orange. And I think when one is looking at UFO reports involving multiple orange-red lights drifting fairly slowly in the sky in groups, very often we are looking at these sky lanterns.
Hmm. Well, it's funny because, quite frankly, I've never heard of Chinese lanterns until I started seeing them being used as an excuse for many of the sightings, you know. But I don't think they're too popular in this country. I read on the Internet that some people were stating that the UK has a triangular black aircraft that can fly across the sky very slowly. They say that this has to do with experiments in the U.S. and U.K. with an aircraft that uses helium in conjunction with pulse jet engines. The helium supposedly keeps the craft at neutral buoyancy, allowing it to sort of float across the sky with the assistance of silent electric motors. Have you heard anything about this?
Well, the whole issue of prototype aircraft and prototype unmanned aerial vehicles is obviously an area that I really can't discuss in any great detail. I can say generically, of course, that at any given time there are prototypes that are going to be tested and flown in our airspace. But generally speaking, these sorts of things are test flown in fairly remote ranges and restricted military airspace areas. So in my experience, they're not the sorts of things that the public will see and misidentify as UFOs. I mean, certainly there have been a lot of reports, not just from the UK, but of course from Belgium, from the United States, from many other countries, of these large triangular-shaped UFOs. And again, descriptions have included the fact that these things can apparently move from a virtual hover to very high Mach speeds in just an instant. Yes, those reports are out there, but I'm really not able to go too far down the road of speculating about prototype aircraft.
Have you heard of any of these black triangular silent craft flying extremely low to the ground?
Oh yes, I've received several reports in the UK. One very famous case from March 1993 involved one of these things flying over two military bases, and the meteorological officer at one, I spoke to him just hours after his sighting, and he described this thing probably no more than 400 feet above the ground, and he described it as midway in size between a C-130 Hercules transport aircraft and a Boeing 737. Just in the last week, I've received another report from a member of the public describing this probably, again, of course, it's difficult to estimate, but he said certainly less than 1,000 feet above the ground, probably more like 700 feet. Yes, several reports of that sort of thing.
Do you think that it's possible that the Strategic Defense Initiative is responsible, some of the aircraft that they're designing is responsible for mistaken UFO sightings?
Well, again, as with the question on where I touched on the whole prototype aircraft and UAV issue, that it's not an area that I'm able to discuss in any detail. But I mean, to my mind, I mean, SDI is primarily a sort of defensive scheme, and I'm not sure how triangular craft would fit into that. I mean, I can't rule it out, but it's not an area where I have any specific knowledge, and if I did, it's not an area I could really discuss.
I find it amazing that a country the size of the UK is experiencing so many sightings. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. As I mentioned earlier, undoubtedly there are a lot of sightings, but I don't think one can underestimate the importance that the Sun has played in this, and I'm talking about Britain's best-selling national daily newspaper, to literally put a UFO story on the front page and then to make a public appeal for other people who've seen things to come forward, particularly if they've got photographs and videos. What that does, I think, is it creates a receptive environment. It creates a situation where I'm sure in the normal course of business there are a lot of people who see UFOs who don't speak out, either because they don't know who to contact or because they fear ridicule and disbelief. If you see it on the front page of literally the best-selling national daily newspaper in the country, if you see that they're running stories about police officers, about military personnel having these sightings, I think people who've had their own sightings think, well, okay, it's okay to speak about this now, and he encourages them to come forward, whereas previously they probably would have stayed silent, or at least a fair proportion of them would be. So I think we're dealing with two things. Yes, we are having undeniably a wave of UFO sightings over the UK, but we've got the environment due to the positive media coverage. We've got that situation where people are feeling comfortable about speaking out.
Have any reports of extraterrestrials been made during this wave of sightings?
There have been one or two, but I haven't had, I've received notice of one or two entity encounters, but I've not yet been able to investigate them. Mainly we're talking about UFO activity, but there are entity sightings and indeed abduction reports, and that's something. I mean, it's not new. It's happened over the years here in the UK that we get these reports, and there certainly have been some recent ones.
I see where people are calling for an investigation by the Ministry of Defense. They want the Ministry to look into the UFO phenomena. Do you think that there is enough, if that enough pressure is brought to bear, that it will happen, that the Ministry of Defense will seem to go against their own policy?
Well, I'm one of the people that's called for an investigation, so yes, I guess that's a question that I really can only answer with an affirmative, and to say yes, I firmly believe that a combination of media and public pressure will force the MOD to investigate, and particularly in relation to the sighting from the crew of the police helicopter. If, as we're led to believe, and this is still being looked at, but if this was a near miss in controlled military airspace, then it seems to me that whatever one believes about UFOs, this must be regarded as an air safety issue. You know, you don't have to be a believer or a skeptic to realize that if you've got a near collision in controlled airspace, someone needs to take a look at this. So yes, I believe there needs to be an inquiry. I think if the media keeps up the pressure, there will be an inquiry. And I think obviously that inquiry needs to do probably three things. Firstly, interview the witnesses to get the clear first-person testimony on the record. Second, analyze the film footage and the photographs. I mean, the MOD has the technical equipment and expertise to do that, and it should be done. Thirdly, of course, look at the radar tapes, both the civil and the military radar information that must be available, and see if anything was tracked. So it's easy to do, and I believe, given the air safety issues, it's important that this is done.
When you were talking about the conflicting stories about the helicopter and UFOs, were you referring to the story that the helicopter had been chased by 16 UFOs? Because that's what we had heard over here.
No, I wasn't. I was referring the initial story, which the Sun ran, was that there had been this near miss, and then that the helicopter had given chase. But in that story, there was only one UFO, but it was a disc-shaped craft covered with lights, and a chase took place over the Bristol Channel, with the helicopter only breaking off when, firstly, it ran short of fuel, and secondly, it realized that it just didn't have the speed to catch up with the UFO. Now, within 24, 48 hours, South Wales police had issued a statement in which they sought to downplay the issue, and as I think I mentioned earlier, denied that a chase had taken place. They simply confirmed that there had been a UFO sighting, but said that that there hadn't been a chase. I wasn't referring to any suggestion that the helicopter had itself been chased by 16 UFOs, but as I mentioned, a number of researchers here in the UK have Freedom of Information Act requests in the system to try to smoke out the truth of precisely what did go on.
So there is a possibility maybe the helicopter itself was chased.
That's a possibility until we receive the documentation setting out what these people reported. What we're dealing with is a very confusing situation with different media reports and different UFO researchers putting a slightly different slant on things. So investigations are ongoing.
Has any UFO activity been reported over or near Fairford, a base that the U.S. military has aircraft at? I ask this question because it has been suggested that some new military aircraft are of the silent type and can look like triangles from certain angles and are black.
I don't believe so, but of course we've just had the International Air Tattoo at Fairford, which is one of the largest air shows held in this country. And of course there have been a lot of fairly sophisticated aircraft flying around there, and some of them will have been training for that beforehand. And I believe in the next day or two we have the Farnborough Air Show, again one of the iconic military events that we hold here in the UK. But I think that generally speaking, as I mentioned earlier, you're not going to see secret prototype aircraft at these public air shows. You're going to see sorts of aircraft that the public know and are familiar with.
Well, some of the aircraft that we see already can look like triangles.
Absolutely, yes, indeed. I mean, you've only got to look at the stealth fighter, the stealth bomber, and indeed the new Eurofighter Typhoon, which is the Royal Air Force's replacement to the Tornado F3 fighter. Certainly, I mean, Delta-shaped craft, as you rightly say, they've been in our skies for many years. The other one to report is, of course, a very famous old aircraft, the Vulcan.
Oh, yes.
A magnificent, magnificent aircraft from our past here in the UK. And at a cost of several million pounds, private enthusiasts here in the UK have restored the last flying Vulcan, and that took to the skies just fairly recently. But you know, I mean, it's a wonderful aircraft, but it's obviously and recognizably an aircraft. And if it flew over your house at 200 feet, it would take your roof off.
I have no hard evidence, but some say that the increase in UFO sightings started near the end of 2005. Would you agree with that?
I'm not sure. I'd have to go into statistics, and I'm afraid I don't have those in front of me, so I can't really answer that with any degree of certainty.
Okay. Is there an increase in the sightings of U.S. UFOs over military bases in your country? I know that one occurred, as you said, over Shropshire and another at Fairford.
Well, again, without the statistics, without the detailed breakdown in front of me, and again, I'm always wary with statistics of taking a snapshot. I think you have to look at them over a period of at least 2 or 3 years so that you can do some proper trend analysis. I mean, certainly some of the most spectacular UFO sightings over the years have been over military bases. One only has to think, of course, of Bentwaters and cases like that. But again, without the statistics in front of me, I'm wary to really start speculating on that in great detail.
You have a lot of fans, Nick. Some people say that you would like to reveal more, but can't because of non-disclosure agreements. We all know that most former employees in sensitive positions in your country and here have to sign them. If you hadn't had to sign one, would there have been more that you would have been able to tell us about UFOs? And I'm not asking for anything specific.
No, I guess so. But I mean, without wanting to sound too clever about it, of course, if I hadn't signed a non-disclosure agreement, I wouldn't have anything to disclose because I would never have been privy to any classified information anyway. I mean, of course, yes, all government and military employees, certainly here in the UK, sign their non-disclosure agreement. I mean, it's over here we call it the Official Secrets Act. That's what we sign. On your first day in government service, and also on your last, because, of course, it binds you for life. So on my last day in government service in 2006, I had to sign a reminder form, as it were, you know, reminding me that just because I left didn't somehow release me from my oath of secrecy. It binds me till the day I die, and probably further than that if they could get away with it. But yes, I mean, to answer your question, yes, of course, I think there are things that if I hadn't signed that, I might be able to say, but not a sort of, as I like to call it, not a sort of spaceship in a hangar type smoking gun. If that sort of thing exists, I was never briefed on it.
Okay. Is there any one area in the UK that you would say is getting the most sightings?
No. Again, it really does, it does seem to be national. There are sightings from remote parts of the country. There are also sightings from some of our major cities. There really doesn't seem to be any particular focus to this. And that in itself is, I think, interesting. I mean, again, we're not dealing with a localized situation. We are, really are dealing with something national and perhaps even international. And that's one of my, you know, most kind of long-standing points that I make about this, that none of this is a national situation. Of course, it's international, and we've all got a piece of the puzzle. And it really perhaps needs better coordination to see if the wave of sightings that we've currently got in the UK is actually unique, or whether it's actually part of a wider situation. But of course, the problem is that although we have fairly good contacts in some countries, particularly some of the Western democracies, there are many, many parts of the world where we really don't have access to what's going on, and we really don't have an idea as to how many UFO sightings there are and what sort of cases are being reported.
Do you think that any companies, such as UFO Balloons in London, are responsible for some of the UFO sightings?
Well, I think undoubtedly there will be, and we talked earlier about sky lanterns, fire lanterns, Chinese lanterns, whatever you call them, certainly UFO balloons. Britain has just started doing some airship flights over London over the summer, again, as a something for the tourists. All these things undoubtedly will give rise to some UFO reports because, of course, many of these things turn out to be misidentifications. But I think that's the point. After investigation, one can eliminate these prosaic explanations and then focus in on the really interesting cases. So yes, some of these ordinary things will explain some of the sightings, no doubt about it.
Tiny Whale seems to be getting quite a bit of the action. Is there anything special there that might attract UFOs?
Sorry, pardon me, where?
Wales.
Oh, Wales, yes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think what happened is that because the sighting involving the crew of the police helicopter took place in Wales, it got quite a lot of publicity, and that, I think, encouraged a lot of people in Wales who'd seen things to come forward. So partly it was the fact that one of the two spectacular sightings that started this coverage took place in Wales. That was a factor. The other thing is that we've just had a TV documentary about a very famous case from Wales in 1974, and that's, I think, focused interest again on UFO sightings in Wales.
A sighting by a professor at Cardiff University on June 12th was the third in 5 days in the same general area. The sightings took place in Turnhill Barracks, St. Athan, and Brecon Beacons. I believe that these places are in an area of no greater than 150 miles apart, but I could be wrong. But I know they're fairly close. In your opinion, what would be so interesting in this general area?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. But, again, I think we're sort of speculating about what UFOs, if indeed there's an intelligence behind them, and I don't necessarily say that there is, but what they would find interesting. What they would find interesting and what we would find interesting may be two completely different things.
Sure.
And of course, yeah, and the other point is that just because something was seen in a particular place, you know, doesn't mean that that's the particular thing that it was most interested in. It may have been on its way to or indeed from somewhere else.
Some universities in the U.S. have nuclear reactors on their campuses. Is this also the case in the UK? And if so, have UFOs appeared over these universities?
In Britain, certainly when I was in the MOD, we had an absolute policy that we never discussed any nuclear issues, you know, not least for counterterrorism kind of purposes. So I'm afraid that's not something that I can comment on at all.
Okay. When UFO sightings are judged, the credibility of the witnesses comes into play. Am I correct?
Yes, indeed.
What do you think that a Royal Navy aircraft engineer saw above the M5 motorway when he reported seeing a UFO? The disc was traveling for up to 3 minutes above Junction 21 near Weston-super-Mare in Somerset.
Yes, this is a very interesting sighting. Clearly, there's no such thing as an infallible witness, but inevitably, these two people who witnessed this both worked at the Royal Naval Air Station at Yeovilton. They're both familiar with aircraft, military aircraft. They see them on a daily basis. Yes, when people like that, when soldiers, when police officers, when pilots see UFOs, inevitably, I think the public regards them as not, as I say, not perfect witnesses, there's no such thing, but inevitably as perhaps slightly better than the average person in the street to estimate speeds, distances, heights, that sort of thing, and just to be familiar with the sorts of things that perhaps many members of the public might be less familiar with in terms of objects and phenomena in our airspace.
I don't know if you're familiar with this, but I'm going to ask you this question anyway. If you know, has UFO activity picked up around the Hadron Collider site in Geneva, Switzerland?
I don't know whether it has or not. I haven't been following that. I mean, of course, I've been following the story of the Large Hadron Collider with great interest. I mean, as you know, the largest machine ever constructed,
right,
on this planet. The massive new particle accelerator that scientists hope is going to unlock fundamental secrets of the universe relating to the Big Bang, dark matter, hidden dimensions, exotic new particles, etc., etc. I mean, I think it's a tremendously exciting time for science, but I haven't, that's an interesting question. I mean, I haven't checked to see whether there's been an upsurge in UFO activity or not.
I only bring that question up because you would think that something like that would be of interest if these were extraterrestrials, you know?
You would think so, but then again, I guess if they were, maybe they've built their own Large Hadron Collider on, you know, on their own world, and maybe they know the results of these experiments before we even start them.
That's for sure. Do you feel a certain amount of responsibility to be absolutely sure of something before you say anything about it because of your former position in the government?
Yes, I do. I mean, inevitably, I'm not trying to put myself on a pedestal here, but people do look to me to give a lead on this subject. So, yes, I try to think carefully. I try to, a very important point, I try to differentiate between what I think and what I know, and I try to make it very clear when I am giving an opinion or when I'm giving a factual answer to a question.
The UK is surrounded by the ocean. And many people think that there may be bases under the ocean where UFOs come from. Have there been any recent sightings of UFOs coming out of or going into the waters off the coast of the UK?
There have been fairly consistent reports over the years of UFOs coming out of both the ocean and indeed various lakes and and things on the mainland. I mean, I guess it's a truism that we probably know less about the deep oceans than we do about the surface of the moon. Whether there are bases down there, as some people suggest, I simply don't know. But I mean, clearly, it's an area that needs to be explored more, whatever you think's down there.
I'm going to ask you to speculate one more time. Would you mind?
Sure thing.
Okay. It seems that the increase in UFO sightings might correspond with activity on Mars. It was recently reported in a not too well-respected tabloid that the Phoenix Mars probe had spotted something moving under the ice and had been shaken violently until the ice samples fell out of its scoop. Do you think that we are possibly provoking more UFO attention by our actions in space exploration, assuming that at least some UFOs are extraterrestrial?
Well, okay, I'll make it clear. Yes, this is complete speculation on my part, but to me it seems logical that the things that we do that would be of most interest if some UFOs are extraterrestrial are, I think, two things. Firstly, our nuclear activities, and secondly, our space exploration, because I think those are the two things that A, would make us dangerous, and B, would make us capable of exporting our danger and bringing it out into the wider universe. But that is obviously complete speculation on my part.
Do you think that there is disinformation being put out to hinder us on UFO investigations?
I honestly don't think there is. Now, I've been accused of this myself, and you've only got to put my name and the word disinformation into Google and find an awful lot of hits. But
well,
you know what?
I'm certainly not accusing you.
Well, no, but others have. In all honesty, and I say this as somebody with 21 years' experience in government, even if we wanted to, we wouldn't have needed to. The UFO lobby is, I think, its own worst enemy, and the government doesn't need to get involved. There are so many feuds and disagreements and charlatans and, so many things coming from left field. Government, even if it wanted to muddy the waters, absolutely wouldn't need to.
Grenham Common used to be an American cruise missile site and had the longest runway in the UK. Supposedly, the runway was broken up and used on the Newbury bypass. Do you think it is possible that it really wasn't, and test flights are being made from there that could be mistaken for UFOs, and that the photographs of it on Google Earth are not accurate?
No, I don't think that's possible. But my understanding was that the longest runway in the UK was actually the Air Force base at Macrahanish in Scotland. And I believe that was actually designated as one of the diversion airfields for the space shuttle. So that might be worth checking out. But I don't see a UFO connection in any of this, and I don't see any need to kind of fool Google Earth on this, or indeed any reason to suggest that would be done.
If we compare the sightings of objects today to those when you were with the Ministry of Defense, are most of the objects described similar or different?
Broadly similar. Really, since the 80s, there's been this rise in the sightings, and we discussed this earlier, of course, of these large triangular-shaped or delta-shaped craft. And again, other motifs are fairly common in the last 20 years. Certainly, the idea of UFOs firing narrow beams of light down at the ground, UFOs emitting low-frequency humming sounds, and particularly the movement, where UFOs are reported as one moment moving very slowly or hovering, and then the next moment accelerating away to the horizon. Those are the sort of common things that are reported, but it's not something that's changed since I've left the MOD. That's been broadly constant over the last 20 years or so.
I can't help but believe that since there are so many sightings, that they can't all be secret aircraft or even explainable objects. Do you agree with this?
Yes, I think so. Most of these things, in percentage terms, of course, do turn out to be misidentifications, but there's consistently too many sightings from reliable observers, too many sightings where things are tracked on radar performing speeds and maneuvers we can't match. There's too much of that sort of thing to write it all off as misidentifications. And as I said earlier, prototype aircraft and unmanned aerial vehicles, yes, we have them, but they're tested in very clearly defined kind of test areas. So we can differentiate between those sorts of things. Certainly those of us in government could.
Some UFO witnesses talk about lights that seem to separate and then join together into one large light. Have you had any experience with this type of sighting?
Absolutely, and indeed, again, one only has to look at the classic Bentwaters case from 1980 to see that Colonel Holt reported something almost exactly like that. Now, some of these sightings, particularly over the last 10, 15 years, are attributable to lasers and searchlights, which, again, are used increasingly at various kind of outdoor events, concerts, things like that. And the searchlights and the lasers very often reflect off the low cloud and do patterns where they pan out and then come together in a central point. But clearly that's not what Colonel Holt was seeing. And again, so there's a kind of the real phenomenon, and then there's a prosaic explanation that explains some of it, but certainly not all of it.
Well, I know that the U.S. and probably your country have been working on anti-gravity propulsion for years, and that Boeing even hired the leading Russian scientists in the field. Do you have any indications that some of the craft spotted could be a new type of anti-gravity craft that we have manufactured, maybe such as the markings on them or anything like that?
I don't know. I'm certainly familiar with the Boeing project. I'm familiar with the fact that NASA have dabbled in this. British Aerospace here in the UK have dabbled with it. We had something called Project Green Glow, where certainly the challenge went out for all sorts of exotic technologies that people thought that they could get to work, and there was certainly research and development money available if anyone had anything to bring to the table. Whether any of this actually got beyond the theoretical point and made it into sort of prototype and testing, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I kind of hope so. I hope these technologies exist, but I've yet to see any direct evidence that it goes beyond theory.
Have you ever noticed that many witnesses to UFOs state that there was a very bright light? Have you ever wondered what the connection was?
Well, I guess many UFO sightings just inherently involve bright lights, and indeed many abduction reports, again, start with the idea of a beam or a spotlight. Certainly I'm familiar with many cases from the British government's files where people talk about beams. Now, maybe this is some sort of searchlight, and it's just illuminating something on the ground, looking for something. Or maybe it's something else. Again, the honest answer, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Is there any indication that there might be a secret investigation going on by any government agency into any of these UFO sightings?
I don't think so. I mean, in the UK, to the best of my knowledge, and I speak as somebody who was on that project, we had one research program with the Ministry of Defense having the lead. Of course, you can't prove a negative, so I can't rule out the idea, as has been put forward by some people, of a sort of shadow project standing behind us that we were unaware of. But I've seen no evidence of it beyond speculation on blogs and websites and things.
Isn't it ironic that for a while it seemed that UFO activity had fallen off? I know that several news outlets were reporting that some UFO clubs might have to close in early 2005 for lack of sightings. Have you heard of this?
Yes, there was one British group, but it was a very, very small group, and even I think the report of its closure was not entirely accurate. I think what What actually happened is a couple of skeptics and a couple of journalists sort of got together and thought, this is a story, ufology is dead. But of course, as I said right at the top of the interview, ufology is events-led. And you've only got to look at some of the things that have been happening, not just in the UK, but of course we had the Chicago O'Hare sightings in the States, we've had the Stevensville sightings. This is events-led, and there's certainly no question of this subject being dead. In fact, quite the opposite.
It has been claimed that computer analysis has shown that certain areas are avoided by military flights at certain times, and these areas have a lot of UFO sightings, and that some people are saying that this proves that the world's governments are being contacted by UFOs and told not to fly in certain areas at certain times. What do you think of that statement?
Well, I'm not familiar with those particular claims, I'm afraid, so I can't comment other than to say certainly in the UK, in generic terms, military low flying takes place in certain areas, and for very good reasons of you know, trying to avoid disturbing people, generally avoids flying over major population centers. But other than that, I really can't comment.
A rumor states that the Ministry of Defense actually has to investigate several UFO sightings every year, even though the official stance is that they only do this if there is a threat to aviation. Do you know if this is true?
Well, it's a very difficult situation. I mean, the Ministry of Defense's position is that it only looks at UFO sightings in order to satisfy itself that the UK's air defense region hasn't been penetrated by foreign military aircraft activity or indeed something else of any defense interest and defense significance. But you see, this is where it gets difficult to define, because certainly post 9/11, anything flying in our airspace has got to be of interest to the government and the military. So to a certain extent, if there's any evidence, be that evidence from reliable witnesses such as pilots, or be it radar evidence of some uncorrelated target in British airspace, then that will be looked at.
Excuse me. It is said that there was a secret report made in the year 2000 by the Ministry of Defense that stated that solid UFOs that could cause a collision hazard didn't exist, and that the BBC found out about it when David Clark got a copy under the Freedom of Information Act. Do you know anything about this? And using the word solid seems very strange. It almost seems that they are saying that there are UFOs that are not solid. What do you think?
Well, this was nothing to do with David Clark, who's a UFO buff here in the UK. This was to do with the British Ministry of Defense releasing a highly classified report that in fact had taken several years in the early 90s to produce. A number of UFO researchers had made requests for this information, and it was released a while ago. You can read it on the Ministry of Defense's website. It's called Unidentified Aerial Phenomena in the United Kingdom Air Defense Region. And I was involved in the work that led to the commissioning of this study. It was carried out by a private contractor for the Defense Intelligence Staff. It, in a sense, it was a missed opportunity. It started speculating, and this is, I think, where your question was coming from about solid objects and non-solid objects. It started speculating that some UFOs might be attributable to exotic atmospheric plasmas. But the mistake that was made in this report was that in fact, there's no scientific consensus about atmospheric plasmas in the first place. So this was just speculation. Yes, it was an interesting and highly classified report, but no, it didn't take us any closer to resolution of the UFO mystery.
Uh-huh. Did you hear about the Romanian fighter plane that hit a UFO? And if so, what is your opinion about it?
Yes, I heard about that incident, and indeed I've seen some news coverage of it, I think, on YouTube. It does seem that something struck a military aircraft and that there was some damage to the canopy. Now, whether this was anything exotic or not, I don't know. I mean, of course, in one of my previous jobs at the Ministry of Defence, I had some responsibility for military aircraft accidents, and I know that, for example, one gets things as innocuous as a bird strike that can cause damage to an aircraft and, in extremis, cause a crash. So, yes, I've heard about it, but I don't know the results of the Romanian military investigation into that.
Did you know that when the space shuttle goes up, there are reports of it being followed by UFOs? Have you ever looked into this?
I haven't looked into this. I mean, of course, that's an even wider question than the space shuttle, I guess, because you can go back, of course, to all the Apollo missions and many, many reports, some of which are true, some of which are, I think, exaggerated, but about astronauts who've seen something. Now, of course, you know, this is where it gets confusing because people will use phrases like UFO or unidentified object, and that's a very loaded phrase with the public. But of course, in dictionary definition terms, all it means is something that the astronaut is seeing that he or she can't identify. So again, whether it's something exotic or whether it's just ice crystals or space debris, with the sunlight reflecting off it, these are issues that I think have not been clarified.
Well, since you bring the subject up of, you know, broader spectrum, why do you think an astronaut might say that a bogey has been spotted rather than a UFO? Do you think this indicates that there may be some sort of spacecraft other than the craft that they're on following them?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not an expert in what language the astronauts use and what terminology they use, so I can't really answer that, I'm afraid.
Do you feel that there is a certain time of the year when UFO sightings increase?
Again, I don't know. I haven't got the statistics in front of me. I know a number of UFO researchers, I think people at the National UFO Reporting Center have done some work on this. I think MUFON have done some work on this. I don't have that data in front of me, I'm afraid.
In their investigations, has the Ministry of Defense ever recovered any exotic material?
No, they've not. If they have, they didn't tell me about it. No, to the best of my knowledge, and I had access, as far as I know, to all the files, and I had both the clearance and the need to know, I've never seen even the slightest hint that we've recovered any exotic technology.
It is one thing to see a UFO and report it, but it is something entirely different to see fleets of them at one time. In 2005, a sighting of at least 50 UFOs were reported and photographed flying over the M25. What do you think about sightings of as many as 50 UFOs? What could they possibly be?
Well, again, I think sometimes these things can be our old friend the sky lanterns or helium balloons. Very often here in the UK we have school events, fetes, where there's a competition where you get a whole bunch of helium balloons. The children write their name and address on these things and then they all get launched at once, and they all drift on the wind, and the point is that, you know, if anyone finds one of these things, you know, very often hundreds of miles away from the launch site, sometimes even in different countries, they're asked to send back, and then the person whose balloon went the furthest wins, and these things are sometimes done for fun, sometimes they're done as charity fundraising events. So very often when you get these reports of fleets of UFOs, I think you are just dealing with sky lanterns or helium balloons. And of course, if they're all launched pretty much at the same time and the wind conditions are the same, they will for a time drift together.
In this country, a lot of people believe that Phobos 2, the Soviet probe that was sent to study the Martian moon Phobos in 1988, was shot down by a UFO. and they cite as evidence of a picture, a final picture that was taken by the probe, supposedly, of the UFO that shot it down. Have you ever seen this picture?
I don't think I have, but I mean, there are so many rumors like this doing the rounds on the internet, and it's so easy these days with Photoshop and various other programs to fake videos and photos that it's difficult to separate fact from fiction, but that's not something I know about.
Have you heard about a company called Snowmakers? They've created a machine that can make clouds in any shape they desire, and they have announced that soon they will be able to do this in color. I imagine this is really going to create havoc among people that say they see UFOs.
Well, I haven't heard of this. I mean, it sounds like a sort of offshoot of I don't know, Wilhelm Reich's work and cloud busting. And of course, there's a whole bunch of material out there about weather control. I guess this ties in
with
things like that.
This is not weather control. What this is, for example, you can go to this company, and they will send up a cloud that looks like, for example, a face of your relative or something.
Okay, well, I'm afraid I...
For an hour.
Okay, no, I hadn't heard of that. I mean, it sounds, well, I guess you can sort of say it's roughly a shape of a face, but I mean, you know, unless you can literally control the wind, you're not going to be able to hold the shape for very long. But no, I haven't heard of this, I'm afraid.
In summary, would you tell us what you think is going on with all these sightings?
I think it's a mixed bag. I don't think there's one neat solution to this mystery. I think that a lot of what we're seeing is misidentification of things like sky lanterns, helium balloons. But you know, when you've got police officers and military personnel seeing these things, and of course these are people who tend not to misidentify something like ordinary aircraft, not least because in terms of the military, they see them every day. When you've got these things tracked on radar, there's something going on over and above sky lanterns, helium balloons, and things. Whether any of it's extraterrestrial or not, the honest answer is I don't know. To give a politician's answer, I certainly can't rule it out. But I think I'd take it back to the point that I made right at the top of the interview when I was speaking about the sighting involving the police helicopter. When you've got these things in controlled airspace, whatever you think they are, whether you're a believer or a skeptic, I think one has to accept that there are defense, national security, and air safety issues here. And for that reason alone, I think this is an important issue that should be studied by governments, by the military, by the intelligence community, and by the scientific community.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I think that's it. I mean, I think obviously this is a very interesting time here in the UK. We've got a wave of fascinating sightings in the US. There's still a lot of interest in Stevensville. You know, one can say that in a few weeks' time, of course, the new X-Files movie is coming out. That, again, is going to focus public interest on issues of you know, UFOs, aliens, cover-ups, conspiracies. You know, I think both through the facts of these UFO sightings and through the fiction of movies like The X-Files, there's never been a time when people have been more interested in this subject. I mean, this really is turning into what I've kind of dubbed Summer of the Sources.
Right. Well, I want to thank you very much, Mr. Pope, for a very interesting and informative interview.